tell me, why did you write Milkshakes for the Almost Dead?
I love the way that you say that. It's a crazy title. I know it's a crazy title. Well, I mean, obviously, I'm a writer. I've written before. I've had books published before, but I hadn't written anything for a while. And I think it's because I was trying to work out what I wanted to say. And I think the best books are when they are entertaining and fun and have a great narrative and a great story. But also, you know, there's something at the heart of it that's important to you. And so I was kind of working out what I wanted to say. And I hadn't written a book for a while. And I'd become a mum to a daughter, and I have nieces who are incredibly important to me. And I've always been a feminist. I've never been scared of saying that word. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's not a scary thing. And I think finally I realised that the book that I wanted to write was a kind of love story to the importance of girls. And when I wrote my previous books, they were classed as chick lit. That was the phrase that went around. And I know that there are much bigger things to worry about. But even in that term, in that name, it's a little bit dismissive of what girls like, of what girls want to read. It doesn't have to be gender conforming. You know, it can be however you want to be as a girl. And they shouldn't be dismissed. They're so valid and important and strong. And we see people, amazing young girls, you know, changing the world. And it was really, I just wanted to write something for my daughter, for my nieces, for myself, weirdly, you know, for back when I was a little chubby Essex teenager and going through all the stuff that young girls do and just making them realise how important they are and their choices.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I totally get that. As a mum of two daughters myself.
Well, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Tell me, what is this book about?
Well, it's about two best friends, Gloria and Diana, quite old-fashioned names, who meet unexpectedly because Diana ends up she comes from London, but she ends up in this small seaside town for the summer because circumstances take her there, and she feels like a fish out of water. She feels lonely, and she meets Gloria, and it's, to begin with, they just don't understand each other at all. Diana's white, Gloria's black. Diana's from London, Gloria's from Lattering, which is the town where it's set. They have very different views on life, very different, you know. Diana has no confidence, Gloria seems to be all confidence, and they meet, and they is kind of hate at first sight, and then they realize very quickly how much they have in common and how important they can be for each other. And mostly it's about these two girls and a storm-filled summer full of boys and beach parties and crazy psychopaths in cowboy boots. It all goes a bit strange, and, you know, body parts on washing up on the beach. But mostly it's a big rolling story about these two girls and how important they are to each other and how ultimately they'll end up dying for each other if they have to. And, yeah, not just the importance of girls, but the importance of girls to each other, supporting each other, raising each other up, not seeing each other as the enemy, but praising each other and making us feel our own self-worth. That's what it's about. Also, there's lots of, you know, kissing and dancing and fun and scares. Yeah, there's horror.
I've started reading it, and I'm loving it so far. And I've only just got to the bit where Gloria and Diana have met, and they're waitressing. And yes, at the moment, yeah, Gloria's sort of a bit dismissive. And I'm like, oh, no, that's a shame. So I'm very glad to hear that they're going to get on.
Yeah. And also, that's very much built on, you know, their previous experiences of the way that some girls can treat other girls. You know, there's fear and competition, and that's learned. You grow up with that, and you can start to judge people before you even really know them, before you've heard what they have to say. You think, she looks like this, she must think this. And actually, we all have a chance to take people as they come, to rewrite that narrative, to not let our own insecurities be bigger, to make our, it's really cheesy, but, you know, to make our love be bigger than our fear, and to get on with people and make our lives better.
I don't think that is cheesy, though. I think you're dead right. I mean, I think, you know, I'm a great one for, you know, when we could go out to pubs and clubs and things, I'm a great one for chatting in the loos and saying to somebody, and, you know, and usually now, obviously, it's somebody much younger, saying to somebody, oh, wow, you look great, or I love that dress. And they're always surprised.
Yeah, but Zan, that's because you're a certain type of person, my darling. Like, you've always been so positive. And not everybody has that positivity and is as happy with themselves and has taken the time to be happy with themselves. And I think it takes some time. There's a really important scene in the book where Gloria kind of says to Diana, you know, who's 16 and lonely and scared and dealing with all this stuff, and she doesn't know how to express it. And Diana says, I say about 10% of the things that I feel. And Gloria says, you have to get it out. If you do nothing else, stand and shout it at the ocean. Say the things that you feel, because they are important and they are valid. And you have to take the time to acknowledge those things about yourself. And it can be really scary to pick at hurt feelings and why you feel this way, why you might be jealous of other girls, or why you might feel the need to say somebody is ugly or fat, those things that girls do to each other, why you might feel the need to say those things. To try and explore those can be really painful, because they all come from somewhere, those feelings, and often it's insecurity and sadness.
I think what you were saying, though, about learned behaviour, I think what I meant was, you know, that people are always surprised. If you say something nice to them as a woman, women are surprised, and we shouldn't be. We should be accepted. Oh, okay. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't do it enough.
Or wonder where it's coming from. Like, wonder what she's going to, you know, is she going to have a dig? But that's because it's so much of it is based on past experience and what we're used to. And sometimes we just have to draw a line and try and break those behaviours. Yeah, and be more Xanthi. There you go. We need to be more Xanthi. There's a bit in the book where Diana turns to Gloria and she says, I just need to be more Gloria. But maybe we need to get some Be More Xanthi t-shirts made up.
So who is this book for? Is it just for young women?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I started out writing it. Genuinely, I started out writing it with my niece, who is now 16, in mind. But actually, when you read a lot of YA books these days, you know, their crossover is amazing. Like, look at something like Thug, like The Hate U Give. The writing is beautiful. And The Hunger Games, like the writing's brilliant. It crosses over so easily. I think it is a book that will probably appeal more to women than men, just because it focuses so much on the female narrative and the female experience. But saying that, my husband read it and said they liked it, but maybe he had to, I don't know. But he's not that guy. I don't think he's the kind of guy that would say he likes something just to make me happy. So I think it's a book for all women. I think, you know, younger than 12 or 13 and they might struggle, but no, it's a book for all women, I think.
And how is it different then to your other books? I mean, obviously you wrote those 10 years ago now.
Yeah, 15 years ago. First one was 20 years ago. Oh my gosh. I think those books were very much written about my own personal experience. They were very much about stuff that was happening to me, like my own. They were written for versions of me. You know, I was a young, white, 20-something woman from Essex, and they always had a message at the heart. You know, one was about losing a lot of weight. I lost a lot of weight at one point. I lost 7 stone in a year and had to process that, like process the way the world treats fat people to the way the world treats thin people and women specifically. And there was a book about that. There was a book about getting older and losing your perceived attractiveness. And so they were still very much grounded in kind of my experience. And this is a bit bigger than that. This has other things, like it does deal with race. It's about a white girl meeting a black girl and understanding what privilege is, and privilege isn't about other people not having it bad. It's just about what you might have good because of the way that you look. You know, it's about lots of different things that the first books didn't really touch on. And also there's so much story in this. Like, it is a thriller, it's a romance, it's all these different things. And the other books were a bit more exploratory and a bit more romance centered, whereas this has got all the scares as well. All the scary scares.
But you've written, you say it's a trilogy. So what's next?
So the first book obviously is Milkshakes for the Almost Dead. So the trilogy is called The Girls and Monsters Trilogy. The second book is called The Devil's Sons, which will become apparent to you if you read Milkshakes. You'll understand who they are. And that's hopefully due out at the beginning of next year. You know, we get introduced to a bunch of odd characters in Milkshakes who become this little unit. And at the end of the book, some of them are okay, some of them aren't okay. And Devil's Sons just takes it a bit wider and explores, you know, the enemy. There's an enemy, there's very much an enemy in this book, and he needs defeating.
I love it that you can see three books ahead.
It's easier to write when you know where it's going. Oh my God, thank goodness, yeah. Like, you have to let it happen as well. Like, you have to let the characters develop as you write them. Like, I don't think you can be so prescriptive that you don't follow where they're going. But at the same time, if you're going to write a thriller, definitely, like, you have to know some of the structure in the arc, otherwise it'll all just fall apart.
The book's out very soon, isn't it?
Yes, it's out. What's the date today? It's out the first week of July on Amazon. So you can read it on an ebook if that's your vibe, or if you still prefer some paper in your hand, physical, yes, it's coming, it's so exciting.
And it's not too expensive, I thought that was brilliant. It was, even the physical copy's only $4.99.
To begin with, honestly, for a little while, I thought about giving it away free, and then I realised I had to pay my mortgage. But I thought what was really, really important to me, well, there's two things. A, I didn't want to make it expensive. You know, everybody's struggling right now. Books are a luxury. And certainly for young people who don't have much cash. So I wanted to make it affordable if I could. But also I wanted to give some of the profits to a charity. So there's a charity called Plan UK, which support women and girls all over the world, specifically young girls. They have a space called Girl Shout Out, which is like a social space where girls just get to freely think and talk and express and be, and all those things are so important. And I wanted to give some money to them. So 10% of any profits from milkshakes go to Plan UK. So that was important to me. Yeah.
Fantastic. The playlist. The playlist is on Spotify. Tell me about that.
The whole time I was writing the book, I tried to put something together that felt like it kind of flowed through the book, like songs that you could play as you are reading it, and music is such an important part of the book. It's a massive part of the book because Gloria is so vocal and loves music so much, and it's one of the things that brings her and Diana together. And so there is a quite surprising, I think, playlist on Spotify. If the book had to have a theme song, it would be, it's an old Diana Ross song, which some people know and some people don't. You know, it's not one of her massive ones, I don't think. I don't know, you tell me, Zan, you know more about music.
Well, I happen to know the song only because I once went to a wedding where it was the first song, and it freaked me out a bit because it's Touch Me in the Morning, then Just Walk Away.
I know. It's about leaving.
Good for a marriage.
No, it's a song about leaving. I know. I don't know what they were thinking. But then I don't know, you know, my wedding song was Downtown Train by Rod Stewart, so I don't even know. Anyway, so Diana Ross, Touch Me in the Morning, I think it's an amazing song. And Gloria is obsessed with Diana Ross and her songs, and makes Diana, the character, become obsessed with them because she's like, she's your namesake. You know, my wish, my dream would be if milkshakes ever got made into a film, that Touch Me in the Morning was, if Little Mix could do a version of Touch Me in the Morning, that would be
genius.
Milkshakes for the Almost Dead, like just personified in Little Mix singing Touch Me in the Morning would be everything that it is.
Perfect. We'll make it happen. It will happen.
Do it. Come on, Zan. Come on. Yeah. Let's do it together.
Well, I'm going to play Touch Me in the Morning by Diana Ross next for you and for this incredible book. And hopefully, well, I'm sure it'll absolutely fly. It'll do really well. And I look forward to talking to you again when book two is out.
Thank you, Zan. Thank you for being so wonderful and amazing and positive. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much for your time.
All right, darling. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Phoenix FM. Yesterday, yeah.
Diana Ross, Touch Me in the Morning from 1972, chosen by Lulu Wood. If you'd like more information about her new book, Milkshakes for the Almost Dead, and also for the amazing charity that supports women and girls all over the world, Plan UK, which 10% of the profits of her book are going to, do go to the Phoenix FM website on phoenixfm.com.
Phoenix FM.